Tonight, we're on special assignment tonight as we share with you. I'm going to give you my title right away. My title will reveal the assignment that the Lord's given us tonight. Watch out for the danger zone of loneliness. Watch out for the danger zone. Say, what's the danger zone? Loneliness. Watch out for the danger zone of loneliness. Loneliness is a danger zone. I wonder, have you ever been truly lonely? I remember a time in my life about a decade ago, and I went through the pain of divorce. You know my story. And but as I came through that, initially, you know, I had such support here, my family, my friends, all of the church family here, and the Hagans and all the staff team. I had such wonderful support, and I'm so grateful for that. And I remember when I first went through that, my oldest son and my daughter-in-law called, and they have my little grandson, you know, and they said, Dad, can we come home? We're trying to save money for our first home, and we're not able to save enough money. Would it be okay if we moved home? And I said, sure, come on home. And that was a great blessing. It was a great blessing to them, but it was a great blessing to me, because suddenly I was cooking dinner for them and babysitting my little grandson and, you know, throwing the ball with him and, you know, had talking to them every night. And then my younger son, JP, he was just getting ready to go into his senior year of high school. And so we all just, you know, walked through that together. But after a year, I remember what happened after a year, because the kids saved enough money for their home, for their first down payment on the first home. And so they moved out after a year. And JP was headed off to college on a golf scholarship. And for the first time in my life, I found myself alone. I found myself having to face what I'm speaking about tonight. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for how he delivered me from the danger zone. He kept me out of that danger zone of loneliness. And tonight I want to talk about this danger zone of loneliness, because increasingly bad things will happen if you stay in that danger zone. And I know that the Lord sent me here tonight to talk about this. So can we just talk about this for a few moments? The Lord showed me how to get free and stay free. And the things that he showed me, I stayed single for 7 years until the Lord brought that beautiful girl down there, Tony, into my life. And but he helped me, and I know tonight he wants to help someone listening to this message. And if you're not lonely tonight, you might be able to help somebody around you who is lonely. And so the goal of this sermon is to show you how you can recognize and then break free from the danger zone of loneliness. Loneliness will create negative consequences in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, if you're not careful. And Satan will put a target on your back if you allow loneliness to overtake you. After I'd walked through what I'd been through, I had the privilege to call someone else who was a minister, and they had walked through a divorce as well, and I had the privilege to call them, to check on them, to see how they were doing. They said they weren't doing too good. And I shared some of these same principles that the Lord taught me, because loneliness will contribute significantly to anxiety and depression. If you're not careful, loneliness will start out as some simple, unchecked thoughts that produce worry, that produce discomfort. But if you're not careful, that will progress. And those worrisome thoughts will turn into full-blown anxiety. And if you're not careful, that anxiety will turn into depression. And the enemy will put a target on your back. Loneliness will contribute to decreasing your cognitive skills, including memory loss, the inability to manage stress or solve problems. Your problem-solving abilities will decrease if you give way to loneliness. Loneliness increases people's chances of developing dementia. Loneliness will release your stress mode and put you in stress response. And our bodies are phenomenal. And God's created our bodies to be able to deal with stress, but our bodies are not supposed to be under a continual stress response. And if you give way to loneliness, it will activate that stress response in you. And that will have terrible consequences. Your brain will sense you're not in a safe place and release cortisol, that chemical, and too much cortisol in our bodies can affect us in a negative way, affect inflammation and so many things. Loneliness will weaken your immune system. Loneliness will limit your ability to sleep. You can't afford to stay in the danger zone of loneliness. So I want to take our time tonight, these few minutes now that we have, and I want to concentrate on three areas. And as I said in my prayer, the Bible is unlike any other book in the world. The Bible contains every answer that we need to every question and problem that we have, including loneliness. And I want to share three things tonight that will help anyone break out of that danger zone of loneliness. The first one I want to share is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Want to be free from loneliness? Intimacy with God is the answer. In fact, you and I were created to have a relationship with God. There is in each person a God-shaped void that only God himself can fill. And sometimes people foolishly try to fill that void. They feel empty. They feel unfulfilled in life. And they sense that void. They sense that emptiness, and they try and fill it with other things. But money, drugs, illicit sex, none of those things will fill that void, that God-shaped void. God is the only one who can fill that. And if you're going to break free from the danger zone of loneliness, you're going to have to increase your intimacy with God. We will never be satisfied in this life until God himself, through the person of Jesus Christ, resides in our heart as our Savior and our Lord. Praise God. And until we surrender our heart to him by accepting Christ as our Savior and Lord, we'll never be free from that type of emptiness. Intimacy with God means making sure we maintain our daily quiet time with the Lord. If we're going to break free, if we're going to break out of that danger zone of, you say, I'm lonely, I'm feeling lonely. You got to break out of that danger zone of loneliness. Listen, you're going to have to increase your intimacy with God. That's going to have to increase. And you're going to have to consistently have your quiet times with the Lord. Let's look at Mark 1:35. This is from the New American Standard. Mark 1:35 through 37. If we could look at that, Mark 1:35 through 37 in the New American Standard. It says this, in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house. He went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions searched for him. Verse 37, they found him and they said, everyone is looking for you. Jesus had a habit of meeting with the Father. He would have this habit of slipping off into a secluded place to spend time with the Father, demonstrating A, his need for that type of intimacy with the Father, and B, our need for that type of intimacy with the Father. And if you're in a lonely place, you can't afford to let times of intimacy slip from you. You're feeling lonely. That's when you need to make sure you're having your quiet time. You're feeling lonely. Sometimes you're not going to feel like cracking open the Bible. You're feeling lonely. People allow loneliness to turn them away from God. But when you're feeling lonely, that's the time you have to turn to God. Increase your intimacy with him. Spend time with him. Whether you're a morning person or an evening person, whatever type of person you are, find time to spend in the presence of God. And God comes to make our hearts his home through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Christ died on that cross. As I say, he paid the price for you and I to be and have this relationship and this intimacy with God. Look at James 4:7 in the New American Standard. James 4:7 and 8 in the New American Standard. It says this in James 4:7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will do what? He'll draw near to you. If you're going to break free from the danger zone of loneliness, you're going to have to increase your intimacy with God. Draw near to him, the scripture says, he will draw near to you. Make a decision. You're going to get closer to God. And that means when the doors of church are open for ministry, you need to make sure, like you are tonight, I'm preaching to the choir, that you're here. But there's so many people feeling lonely tonight that won't come to church. There's so many people feeling lonely tonight that resist. They know they need to go to church, but they resist the need to go to church. You know, when I'm taking my vitamins in the morning, I take my vitamins whether I feel like it or not. I don't always feel like taking a vitamin, but you know what? I take my vitamins anyway. Because it doesn't matter how I feel. I know that the effect of that is going to be beneficial. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. We have too many people paying attention to their feelings, and they slip into this danger zone of loneliness, paying attention only to what they feel. Make a decision. You're going to get closer to God. Make a decision. You're going to increase your intimacy with God. Listening to good preaching or teaching, then especially at night, what you listen to is critically important. As you lay your head to rest, and as your body slips into that unconscious sleep, and your body is trying to get that REM, that rapid eye movement, and that deeper sleep, because our bodies we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 says, you know, God's designed our bodies to heal, to recover. And it is necessary that we get a certain amount of rest. And we have to pay attention to that. And so at night, be careful what you're listening to at night as you're going to sleep. Get some good solid worship music or some solid worship teaching or solid teaching from the Word. Because these things will keep your mind focused on the Lord. The Lord is waiting. He's waiting on you to increase your intimacy with him. And if you'll take a step closer to him, you'll see he's drawing nearer to you. You'll be able to break free from that danger zone of loneliness. Secondly, let your mind overflow with God's word. Let your mind overflow with God's word. The power and the perspective of God's word is necessary to break free from the danger zone of loneliness. And if you're experiencing loneliness, don't just let your mind tell you how to think. You have to tell your mind how it's going to think. You have to throw away from you thoughts that are contrary to God's word. And when you start feeling lonely, the enemy will try and throw darts at you and tell you people don't love you, people don't care about you, people don't care what happens to you. And he'll tell you one lie after lie after lie after lie. Don't waste your time listening to the enemy's lies. Jesus said he's a liar. Jesus said Satan is the father of lies. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. Everything he says is a lie. Don't waste your time listening to the enemy when you're experiencing loneliness. But let your mind overflow with God's word. The Bible are full of people who experience loneliness. David experienced loneliness in Psalm 102, verse 7. Look at that in the New Living Translation. In the New Living Translation, Psalm 102, verse 7. He said, I lie awake lonely as a solitary bird on a roof. Yeah. Elijah experienced loneliness. 1 Kings 19:4 in the New Living Translation. Look at 1 Kings 19:4 in the New Living Translation. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree, prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. He was experiencing loneliness. Paul experienced loneliness. 2 Timothy 4:9 through 11, and then 16 through 18. 2 Timothy 4:9 through 11 in the New Living. He wrote to Timothy, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. Has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Verse 16, look at verse 16, 2 Timothy 4:16. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against him. But, I love this, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. You can see the mighty word coming out of Paul's mouth. When we go through loneliness, it is okay to, in fact, say that I'm feeling lonely. It is not okay to only say that. It's okay to acknowledge loneliness. It is not okay to stay there. And it's not okay to be silent after you acknowledge it. What we must do after we acknowledge it is repeat what the mighty word of God says about us. What we have is people who acknowledge their loneliness and then they just stay there and dwell on being lonely. But what God's word calls you and I to do is no matter if we're lonely, it's okay to say, I'm feeling lonely. But then we have to say, but the word says, I'm never alone. The word says that God's always with me. The word says that he will never leave me or forsake me. So we've got to say the truth of what God's word says about what we're feeling. We got too many people just acknowledging a feeling, but not acknowledging the word. It's okay to acknowledge the feeling if we're going to then acknowledge the word. Because the word has power over any feeling. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Amen. It's not a sin to feel loneliness, but it's a sin to yield to loneliness. And what is needed is the aggressive application of God's word. I'm going to say that again. What is needed when we experience loneliness is the aggressive application of God's word. Yeah. In fact, look in the Passion Translation now, Isaiah 54, verse 5. The aggressive application of God's word. The Passion Translation, Isaiah 54, verse 5. For your maker is your husband. His name is Yahweh, commander of angel armies. Your kinsman redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He has the title, Mighty God of all the earth. I like that. God is saying, if you don't have a husband, I'll be a husband to you. You may not have an earthly father, but God says, I'm a father to you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. God has a remedy for loneliness. It is the aggressive application of his word. And you're feeling lonely. I was so touched even this morning to see the husband of someone whose funeral I did on Friday here serving in church today. It just made me want to cry because I know the Lord's going to bless that. That's that type of attitude, that type of hang in there and stay connected to people is so important. The aggressive application of God's word. How about the Passion Translation here? Psalm 27:10 in the Passion Translation. You know what that says? My father and mother abandoned me. I'm like an orphan, but you took me in and made me yours. I like that. Even if father and mother have abandoned someone, the Lord says, hey, I will be your father. I will be a father and a mother to you. I will take you up. And then in the Passion Translation, John 15:26. The Gospel of John 15:26, Passion Translation. The scripture says, and I will send you, Jesus said, I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father, and he will come to you, the Spirit of truth emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me. Jesus called him I love it in the Passion Translation. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the divine encourager. He's an advocate. He's a standby. He's a helper. He's an encourager. He's a strengthener. Glory to God. But Jesus said, I'm going to send you the divine encourager. Do you know there's a divine encourager down on the inside of you? And when you get lonely, when you get to feeling lonely, the divine encourager will rise up on the inside of you. Look at John 16:7, Passion Translation. John 16:7, Passion Translation. But here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus said. For if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. I'm convinced the Holy Spirit tries to encourage some people and they resist the ministry of the divine encourager. He's trying to encourage you. He's trying to strengthen you. But you have to listen to him. It's so important to increase intimacy with God. You've got to break out of the danger zone of loneliness. Increase your intimacy with God. Secondly, let your mind overflow with God's word. Finally tonight, fellowship with the saints. You need to have fellowship with the saints. You know that word saints. In the Bible, it's always plural. Because God intended for you and I to have fellowship with one another. First from the word tonight in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Passion Translation again. These next two, Passion Translation. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Look what it says about fellowship. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away. This is not the time to pull away. Look at somebody and tell them, this is not the time to pull away. Yeah. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. I love that. Yeah. Look at 1 John 1:7 in the New Living Translation. 1 John 1:7, yeah, we'll go to the New Living. 1 John 1:7, New Living Translation. 1 John 1:7. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with each other. What's fellowship? A group of fellows in the same ship, right? We need one another. God created us with the need for one another. We were not intended to live as isolated Christians off by ourselves on individual islands. Don't call me. I won't call you. I'll holler at you from across the hall. I'll say hi across the mall. No, we need one another and we need fellowship. God created us that way. Psalm 66, if you will, Passion Translation. Psalm 68. Going too fast. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 in the Passion Translation. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 in the Passion Translation. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. It says this, to the fatherless, he is a what? He's a father. To the widow, he is a champion friend. To the lonely, he gives a family. I love that. To the prisoners, he leads into prosperity until they sing for joy. This is our holy God in his holy place. But for the rebels, there is a heartache and despair. God is a father to the fatherless. He is the widow's champion friend. To the lonely, he gives what? A family. He provides a family for the lonely. I remember years and years ago, there were some folks, some college students who had come from ORU. They'd come over here to church, and they were from the state of Virginia. And I'd come here from Virginia. I'm from New Jersey, but I'd come here from Virginia. Anyway, we met those wonderful students. They didn't have a place to go for Thanksgiving. We had them all over at the house, fed them all, just stuffed them. You know, and then, you know, they're going to ORU. So we saw them the next year, invited them over, fed them again. They had more friends this time. The next year, there was a bigger group of them. We brought them over, fed them again. Then I remember one day, their mom and daddy showed up, came looking for me. Said, well, we just had to meet you. We just had to come here to church. Just had to come meet you. They said, you didn't feed our babies all these years. They couldn't come home. We couldn't afford for them to come home. But we knew they was in a safe place, and we knew they had a great meal. And he said, just want to come and hug you and say thank you. Yeah. What did God do? God provided family. He made us a family to that family. And so often God wants to take you and extend your family. He wants to extend the parameters. He wants to broaden the border of your family to include somebody else. And amazing things happen when we open our doors and include someone else. God's created us with a need for fellowship. Can I say this? We have to make ourselves get up and go. We have to make ourselves and get up and go to church. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. Can't get no amen from the choir teaching like that. Y'all the choir tonight. You got to make yourself get up and go to church. It don't matter what you feel like. Get yourself up out of the bed and drag yourself to church. Somebody said, I'm feeling lonely. I'm just going to stay here at Pentecostal Pillow Church. No, get yourself up. Get yourself to church. Get out to school of the Bible. There are people who are in school of the Bible. If you're here or a Sunday school class, wherever church you make, listen, get up and go to Sunday school, because they're going to be like-minded people who are in need of fellowship, who have the ability to provide fellowship. Get up and go to Bible study. Get up and go to prayer group. Get up and go out to eat. I called one brother. He was so lonely. I said, what do you do for fun? He said, I got a motorcycle that ain't by. He said, it's just in the garage gathering dust. I said, man, get that thing off and dust that thing off. I said, these people with motorcycles, they get out there, they start polishing chrome. He said, yeah, I used to do all that. I said, man, get that chrome polished. Get yourself out there. Find a way. Join a link team. Find something, some interest-driven group like a link team, and get connected to that. But make yourself go. And if nothing else, begin to volunteer for folks who are worse off than you. Go to a nursing home, a food bank. Go out and sing Christmas carols. My neighbors knocked on the door the other day. They was all singing Christmas carols. I said, come on in. They all came in. Let them warm up. Tony started playing all the songs on the piano. They sang Christmas carols inside on the piano. Around the piano. Make yourself get up and go. I want to conclude tonight with Isaiah 40, verse 27 through 31 from the King James Version. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When we started tonight, I shared with you how a decade ago I had to learn this lesson about overcoming the danger zone of loneliness. And I remember reading this scripture, and the Lord and I were having a conversation because I was feeling lonely for the first time in my life. And I acknowledged my loneliness. I told the Lord I was lonely, but I said, I see right here in your word that you said those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And I said, Lord, you promised to renew my strength, but I'm not trusting a natural feeling, but I need supernatural strength, and I'm trusting you. I felt down in my spirit, read that again. And so I read it again. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I said, Lord, I need supernatural strength. I felt, read it again. I read it again. I said, Lord, I see the same thing. Read it again. I read it again. I said, Lord, I see the same thing. Read it again. I read it again. Read it again. I read it again. Read it again. I read it again. I don't know how many times I read it, but sometime after the 10th time that I read that, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. This is what he told me. You are trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. Now, if you'll renew your mind in this area of loneliness, I will renew your strength. And I got busy right then that night. I turn to Hebrews 13:5. He himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. And the Lord said, take the word fear out of there. You're not dealing with fear. You're dealing with loneliness. Put the word loneliness in there. And I said, the Lord is my helper. I will not be lonely. And I went to bed saying, the Lord is my helper. I will not be lonely. The Lord will never leave me, or he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Went to bed saying that he himself has said, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So I can confidently say, the Lord's my helper and I will not be lonely. Went to bed saying that. Woke up with a mantle of strength on me. Felt like a brand new man. Felt supernatural strength. I'm not talking about natural feeling. Felt supernatural strength on me. Crawled out of bed onto my knees and threw my hands in the air and said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I got it now, Lord. I got supernatural strength on me. And he carried me in that strength. For 7 years, till I met that beautiful queen over, woo, that girl right over there. I met that beautiful queen right over there. What do you need tonight? Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored to do what you laid on our heart, this assignment you've given to us, breaking out of that danger zone of loneliness. And some people are here, and I know they might not admit it publicly, but just privately between you and them, they know, and they're relating to what I'm saying. Somebody watching is relating to what was said tonight. We pray that you'll touch people tonight, help people, heal people. So many people see experiencing loneliness that if they're not careful, will slip into depression. We pray you'll touch them tonight. You say, I'm right here tonight. I'm experiencing loneliness in an extreme way. I'm not going to make you come down here. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. I want you to lift your hand. You say, I'm going to pray for you from here. I'm experiencing loneliness in an extreme way. Just slip your hand up. Yeah. Just slip your hand up all over. Okay. Put your hands back down. Father, I thank you. You see honest hands, honest hearts, and I pray you will touch every one of these people who lifted their hand tonight. I pray supernaturally by the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll touch them, encourage them, uplift them, help them to renew their mind like I had to do. I had to renew my mind. Help them to renew their mind. Help them to increase their intimacy with you. Help them to aggressively, apply the application of your word. And oh, Father God, help them to get the fellowship that they need. We thank you for it. Give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. You want prayer tonight? You still feel like, hey, I sure wish somebody would pray with me about this subject. I want you to come forward. Come over here to the ladies. The ladies come to the ladies. The guys come to the guys. You want prayer for something different. Somebody says, hey, I want to be saved. How can I find out about getting saved? Can I find out about filled with the Spirit? Sure you can. Come on over here to these ladies if you're a lady. Come on over here to these guys if you're a guy. You won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Keep all of the Hagen family in your prayers, especially this week. And be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Let's not forget all the important announcements Pastor Rob gave us. Be here, Hour of Power on Wednesday, and we will see you then. God bless you, one and all.